Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
This morning, Elena talked to Councillor Pippa Coombe about the medium density residential standards and what happened at Auckland Council's controversial meeting about it last week. They also talked about council services that are now available at Level 3, Step 2, and the new battery electric buses that have been ordered to replace over 100 of Auckland's diesel buses.
There's been a lot of talk about the medium density residential standards that are currently going through Select Committee. Last week, Auckland Council had a debate on the government's plan to enable more housing. Could you please briefly outline what these standards are and what went down at this meeting the other week?
Yes, well, what went down wasn't very pleasant by council standards, and one councillor, Councillor Fletcher in particular, calling it the rape of Auckland, and then being asked to apologise, double down, and called it gang rape, which was completely inoffensive and inappropriate, because it's a joint bill from, supported from National and Labor to introduce more permissive zoning across Auckland. And so it means what's being proposed in the bill, which is quite a lengthy name, but just call it the housing bill just for shorthand, but it will allow or require Auckland Council to amend the unitary plan so that in all single house zones currently, it will be possible to build up to three stories and three dwellings on that site, where at the moment it's only one dwelling and up to two stories. So it does mean a lot more intensification right across Auckland. And important to note that this is in addition, this is sort of like an amendment of what's already proposed under the MPSUD, which Council's working through, which is the government's response to housing growth and intensification, which is already putting a whole lot of requirements on council about where intensification can happen, particularly around transport hubs and walkable catchments.
So these single housing zones, are those generally the inner suburbs like Grey Lynn or Epsom, those kind of areas, or is it all around Auckland that it's changing?
Well, there are single house zones right across Auckland, and some of that might be because it's traditionally been very suburban, like, say, big parts of Howick. It might be also because it's in the coastal environment or very rural, like places like Clark's Beach or Padamahoe down south, and they're just sort of like, little villages. And there's also a lot of single house zone in more central Auckland, and that's because that's where you've got special character overlays. So a lot of that single housing zoning is to retain the character and the heritage of areas like Ponsonby, Grey Lynn, and Freeman's Bay.
So I guess that's where the major clash is happening with this housing bill, is that there's people who want it to preserve character and urban design outcomes, and then also the people who are saying, well, we've got a housing shortage and we need to build more housing, and that's kind of it. And so was this kind of where the clash was happening with the meeting the other week?
Yeah, I think there's a real tension between the bill, which is a one size fits all right across Auckland, and the desire to we have a real need for more housing. And council submission is, and that's what we were debating, is what should be in council submission. And it's trying to be positive in terms of saying, yes, we need to enable more housing. We're already doing that through the unitary plan. We're doing it in response to the MPSUD. But there are some real downsides with what's being proposed now, if it just means that there will be development in places that were never intended and that just doesn't have the infrastructure. So one of the big issues for Auckland is not so much the lack of sites to be able to develop, but the lack of infrastructure. So if you're going to have lots more intensive development in places where there just isn't the infrastructure and there's no public transport and the schools aren't planned, that is creating a lot of potential issues.
Right, so as well as having the increased housing, it needs to have everything else around it, otherwise it's not going to be sustainable. And I think I saw some concerns about, yeah, exactly that, these new standards being applied to places that are quite far out of Auckland rather than perhaps the inner city places, and then those places not having the infrastructure, as you said.
And another controversy, what is controversial about the bill? I mean, if the goal is a well-functioning urban environment and increasing housing, yes, we want that. But it was, I guess, offensive to the way that the debate was being framed by some of the feedback was that this is, you know, this will be Soviet-style housing or the uglification of Auckland, which I think is just kind of a bit of a gross generalisation. Because it's sort of saying intensification is automatically going to mean Soviet-style housing, when actually a lot of people are already living in townhouses and apartments, and they don't see their housing as being ugly. So we just got to achieve, you know, we can achieve really good outcomes and have more housing, and we can also protect what we consider to be worth valuing in terms of heritage. So, you know, maybe I'm a bit of a Pollyanna, but I think we just have to ensure it's just not too much of a blunt instrument and has lots of unintended consequences.
Completely. In other news, we're now at level 3, step 2. What council services are now available at this step?
Yes, so very exciting to move to step 2 on Wednesday. I think we're in week 13 of lockdown, so we had a lot of services open up for the public, and I know what's been really well received was the click and collect service from the library. So that was a limited service originally, but now that's been opened up to all libraries. And the zoo's gearing up to open, or has opened from yesterday, the art gallery next week, Auckland Museum opening next week, and then all of the services, you know, like making sure all public toilets are open, the recycling centres, service centres, and continuing with all the services that council has. And it's all on the council website is probably the best place to go, because there might be specific facilities that people want to know about, like whether crematorium are open, or what does it mean for rubbish collections and things like that.
Cool, yeah, it definitely seems like this step is kind of the first properly going out of lockdown, because a lot of stuff has opened up.
Yeah, and of course all the rules, the COVID rules, continue to apply around keeping safe.
Of course.
Just social distancing, wearing masks, and number one, of course, getting vaccinated, most important of all.
There is Australasia's biggest electric bus order, which has been announced in a partnership between Auckland Transport and New Zealand Bus. So this sees more battery electric buses coming onto Auckland roads. Yeah, what's happening with this, and how does this figure into Auckland's climate action plan?
Yeah, well, we have our goal of reducing carbon emissions by 50% by 2030, and you know, because 64% of our emissions is from transport, it's really important that we move to electrification of our bus fleet. So the latest news is that there's going to be 152 new electric buses coming into routes that serve the city centre. So that was announced just the other day.
Cool. And are these buses in addition to the bus fleet we already have, or do they replace, say, diesel buses?
Yeah, there's a replacement. And it's expected that it will reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 11% a year. Auckland Transport's not Auckland overall, but you know, that's quite a significant improvement. And it's also, I mean, what's great about electric buses and the fact they're going to be serving primarily the city centre is that they're on Queen Street, they've got the worst levels of pollution. So it's not just about reducing our greenhouse gas emissions, it's also going to improve the health, well-being of residents in the city centre.
That's very true. It's not just transport, it's all the pedestrians and people around who are affected by it.
Exactly.
Cool, well, that's great to hear. Was there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think that's all. That's probably a good wrap-up from this week.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.